This is three dreams in a row that were given to Sandy Shaw. And it's all about fighting shoulder to shoulder with one another against the enemies of God. We called it fight as one under Jesus. Fight as one under Jesus. Come together with your prayers. Fight against the enemies who are fighting against you, right? And this was really a parable of the brethren learning to fight together against the enemy and finding out that they have total authority through the Word of God. So let this encourage you. Sandy said, I had a dream where I was an observer of a big battlefield with a war going on. And there is a war going on, a war for souls. There's the enemy is tempting. He's testing. Yes, he's permitted to test you. Who do you think is going to be in the bride? The ones who have been tested and have continued to obey the Word of God. This war is going on. She said it was so noisy that you couldn't hear anyone talk. You had to shout. I heard cannons and grenades go off. This is all a type of that kind of spiritual warfare that we're doing. It's more serious than the physical warfare. It's for eternal souls, you see. There are murderers out there. There are Edomites out there. They want to kill your soul. That is more serious than physical death. That's eternal. There's a battle going on. I heard cannons and grenades go off and a lot of rapid fire from guns. Flaming arrows were being shot. You know, this. Just think about the flaming arrows. I mean, that's indicating that the fiery darts of the evil one who are being fired into your thought life, they must be quenched. You must use the Word of God to come against them and to quench them and to help others too. And this is also the words and the actions of his duped vessels of dishonor. Because the devil has a lot of them out there. They even call themselves Christians. But you can tell by their actions that they're not. You know the zombie apocalypse that everybody laughs about? It's real. It's real. This is a parable come from God, friends. We've seen the walking dead who claim to be Christians. They claim to be alive. But they're walking in all the sins and they're warring with witchcraft against their brothers. And just like Esau, who sold his birthright. So, saints, pray. Pray. There's a war going on. And then I heard, she said, man down, man down. Someone was shouting. So in other words, somebody was wounded in battle, right? I then looked to the left of me and I saw a body on the ground. And running to the body, from the right side was Greg. I then noticed it was Brandy that was down. Greg put his hands on his chest and started praying in tongues and commanded Brandy to get up. And Brandy started moaning and groaning and didn't open his eyes. And then I heard another voice saying, get off of me. I said, get off of me. He said it twice, in other words, you know. And this is, of course, recognizing spiritual attacks and realizing that authority must be taken over the enemy. And she said, I recognized that voice was Bill's. Greg ran to Bill, who was holding his left leg. He put his hand on the injured leg and said, get up, brother. You are healed. Which is according to the Word of God, right? Don't forget, folks, you are healed. Don't forget that. Hold fast the confession of your hope, it waver not, for he is faithful to promise. And you are sanctified, right? All of these things are in the Word. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. So you are healed. And recognize that this is an enemy attack against you. Some people just think it's just a natural thing, you know, and they don't do anything about it. They don't resist it. For goodness sake, resist the devil. And they both ran back to Brandy and laid hands on him and prayed in the Spirit. Well, amen. Because Matthew 18 and 19 says, again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. There's power in numbers. Right? So always, you know, have prayer partners. Get together for prayer meetings, you know, with people that are faithful. Sandy said, more fiery arrows trying to hit Brandy because he was the target. Then Greg and Bill commanded, off, 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 as they used their hands like shields as they blocked the arrows. You know, some of this is witchcraft sent from people who call themselves Christians. But it can't do anything with the Christians that resist it. Knock it down with their faith, you know, cast down, etc., etc. They can't do anything. By the way, folks, people who don't understand, you know, we've talked to some people who have come out of the faction movement, and they said they thought it was us sending curses at them, so they were sending them at us. And I would point out to them, I says, no, that's not the case. The case is what you sow, you reap. What comes out of your mouth comes back on your own head. You are speaking the curse on yourself. And it's been happening. The devil deceives them. He tries to get them to be used to send curses to us, you know. But it's destroying their lives. They don't have common spiritual sense anymore. And Ephesians 6 and 13, wherefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand against what? Well, stand against the enemy, right? That's what you need armor for. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. Withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. There it is. Be able to quench. Your shield of faith, you can quench all the darts of the evil one. Nope, doesn't matter if he's firing them through witchcraft people or anything like that, don't matter. And it does matter that you don't have any cause. You know, the curse that is causeless alighteth not. That's not to say it doesn't include you casting it down. Or you giving a warning that you might receive to someone else so they can cast it down for themselves, you know. Because that's, I mean, we are together because we have many gifts. You see, and they should all be included and also shared with one another. Sometimes the Lord just would have us to pray and cast it down ourselves. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And also 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is how you win the war, saints, casting down imaginations that are against what the Bible says. The Bible says you're healed, you're healed. If the Bible says you're delivered, you're delivered. If the Bible says He gives you authority over all the power of the enemy, you have it. You see, you can't depart from the Bible. If you do, you don't have your sword or you don't have your shield. Right? So, and if you sinned, confess your sins. Right? So that you don't come under a curse because of your sin. Right? Amen. Bring every thought into captivity. Police your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, obeying the Word of God, right? And so Bill said, come on, Brandy, open your eyes so you can see what God is doing. And of course, this is a symbol and a type to teach us, you know. And he opened his eyes and he got up. You know, we are to see. Father has already given us the victory. We're to see that. In 2 Peter 1 and 2, we're told, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing, there it is right there, seeing that His divine power hath, that's past tense, right? Hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You've been given everything that involves godliness. You don't have to keep struggling with the devil. You can tell him where to get off, right? Through the knowledge of Him that called us, through the knowledge. Notice that you have knowledge of the gospel. You know that you have been granted all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The gospel convinces you of that. It gives you faith of that. And so you can use that as your sword, right? Through the knowledge of Him that has called us by His own glory and virtue, whereby He hath granted, there it is again, unto us His precious and exceeding great promises. He's given these promises to you. If you are a believer, they are yours. Don't let the devil and none of his ministers say, oh, that promise passed away with the apostles. What else would the devil tell you? That through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. In other words, you believe these promises that the Lord has given to you. Don't say it was just given to the apostles. It was given to you. The promise has been given to as many and as far off as the Lord our God shall call unto Him. So through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. You need to escape from it? Well, there it is. Just believe the promises. Are you not escaping? Well, you're not believing the promises. Or you're not repenting. Be sure you've forgiven everybody. If you're critical or angry, don't think you're going to get anything from God. You're going to get the tormentors. That's what happened to the factious. They got the tormentors. They were unforgiving, bitter. They lost their birthright. Like Esau. And exercising the authority of our God-given divine nature over the enemies of our soul, right? You are counted righteous through your faith. That righteousness gives you the authority of this divine nature to exercise it over your enemies. And Sandy went on, she says, at the same time they said, come on, let's get out of here. And Greg jumped up. No, we can't. We're in the midst of the storm. And what is he saying? He's saying, we can't run from the battle that God has ordained for us. We have to come to the end of ourselves and conquer the enemy. It's the purpose. It's the trial. It's the test, right? We have the victory. This is what Greg said. We have the victory. And we are victorious. It's done, saints. It's already done. He shouted with everything he had. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, but thanks be unto God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. So this is a specific promise to those that are in Christ, right? It's not to those that are walking in sin and rebellion against God. Unforgiveness and criticism, they don't have this authority. We have this authority. And we can give thanks to God for it now. He says, but thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph. That's a celebration of the victory is what that is. You're celebrating the victory before you see it. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. and maketh manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place. And Romans 8 and 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves the saints. He's on our side. He wants us to take up our sword and our shield and go after the enemy. Luke 10 and 19 says, behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in any wise hurt you. How many dreams we've had about people being serpents? Right? Yeah, because they are used of the devil to make war against us, right? And then Sandy said, there was no shaking these guys. They knew that they knew that they knew. They needed each other working as one with their commander-in-chief. Yeah, they were listening to the Word of God now. They were speaking the Word of God now, which is Jesus Christ, right? She said, then very softly in the background, I heard a song. Jesus never fails. Have you ever heard it? Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get behind me, Satan. You will not prevail, for Jesus never fails. And she said that this song was sung through all three dreams. She could hear it in the background. Through all three, it connected all these three dreams. Neat, huh? Well, he doesn't fail. He is the Word of God. You stand on the Word of God. That's how you abide in Christ, in the secret place of the Most High. You stand on the Word of God. You speak it out of your mouth. You swing your sword. Don't sit on your sword. A brother came into our morning meeting this morning, and he put his word down in his chair, and then he sat on it, and he says, oops, I'm not supposed to sit on the sword. I'm supposed to stand on it, right? Amen. Very, very true. Some people are just sitting on their sword, and they just take what comes at them, you know. And, of course, that's a terrible thing to do. You've been given authority. Better use it so the devil don't pound your head in, right? So this was sung during all these, you know. And I just share with you Psalm 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, which is Jesus Christ, right, the Word of God, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. You know, look for verses that have to do with your warfare at the time you're under it. You know, whatever the situation is, look for verses. You know, if you have to put them on a piece of paper and put them out there where you can see them regularly and remind you of them, then do it, you know. But do a serious warfare against your enemy. You will win. He has nothing, no power against you. His power is to deceive you into thinking he has power. Authority is the right over power. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. He is subject to you. And even his minions, the humans, too. The only power they have is to come against your flesh, but they cannot come against the work of God through you. They can't come, etc., etc. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Yep, they set traps for you all the time. The wicked love to do that, you know. But it all comes back on their head because they fall in their same snare. The Bible says so. And from the deadly pestilence, he will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. In other words, his truth is what you need to keep the enemy from attacking you, right? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Can you imagine how many of those judgments in the book of Revelation, and some even before the tribulation, that are going to take out thousands and millions? But if you stand up and proclaim it, it won't happen to you. You know, swing your sword. It shall not come nigh thee. Make sure you've repented, that you've drawn close to the Lord, and swing your sword. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Yes, the wicked have their day, and they think that they're successful, and they think that God is with them sometimes, but they don't obey the word, and they don't care, and they don't have a conscience, and so their day of recompense is coming upon them. And you will see the reward of the wicked. The Lord wants you to see and have this lesson. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. That's a confession. Thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample under foot. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Saints, we got a bunch of books over there on our site. I wish you'd get them. One of them in particular, The Tongue Conquers the Curse. So many people bring their own curses upon their own heads by the things that they say. When they agree with the devil, they have loosed him. And when they agree with God, they have loosed him. You know, amen. So please, you know, study those. There's a lot of good there. The brethren over here, they will take one of those books and go through all the way through it. And they come together in studies, and they study it and share their own circumstances and their own testings and trials. And it's just been very, very good, a blessing. Okay, this is the next dream, and it's called Facing It Together. That one, first one, was about warfare against the enemy, and this is Facing It Together by Sandy Shaw. She had all these on the 5th in one night. And like I said, that song was going all the way through them. She said, this is a dream of me, Sandy, and Merlene and Judy standing at the front of a clothing store from the 50s. In other words, the old ways, right? Dressed up with what the early saints were dressed up with. The Word of God, right? That was made of brick. So this clothing store was made of brick. You know, what does a clothing store bring to mind? Well, as Jesus said, we have to give up our life to gain our life. This is a store. You give up something to get something, right? Revelation 3 and 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments, that thou mayest clothe thyself, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. So we buy this gold refined by fire, and we become rich, and we buy these white garments, and we may clothe ourselves in the actions and in the works of the Lord, right? And because it is the righteous acts of the saints, these garments, we are making these garments for ourselves. And that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. In other words, sin. Nakedness represents sin. And I salve to anoint thine eyes that thou mayest see. Yeah, we need to see the way the Bible commands us to see. Right? We have to have spiritual eyes, the eyes of the dove that was given to the bride, right? The church is a body represented by this clothing store. For we are to learn to put on the righteous works of Jesus Christ, like Romans 13 and 4 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't live after the flesh. Do the works of Christ. Revelation 19 and 8, and it was given unto her that she should array herself, notice that, in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Oh, praise God. So, she was standing in the front of this clothing store. It had two large display windows. To the right of the store, the brick was red. To the left, the brick was painted. Okay, let me address the red part first. These bricks are like building blocks who make up the house of God. And these were red, were washed in the blood. And they were joined like bricks are, one to another. They have become one. There's no cracks between them, right? But then she went on to say, to the left, the brick was painted. It was painted white, but it was dirty. So, you know, the left, it represents the rebellious who are putting on a show of righteousness, but their lives are not clean. You know, paint's thin, isn't it? The left window had a mannequin dressed as follows. A woman's dress suit. Well, maybe I'm a little old school here, but I do think that's kind of perverse, frankly, because, you know, we ought to have a difference between men and women. And I'm not talking about women wearing pants. I'm talking about a suit, you know, which really causes them to look like men as far as I'm concerned. I think it's a symbol of perversion. Dress suits were always considered men's clothing. And anyway, that's my opinion, and that's what I think the Lord is saying in this. Okay. The jacket had three-quarter sleeves of pastel yellow, trimmed in a one-inch-wide white trim that went from the shoulder seam down the front to the side seam. So that's only one narrow strip of white in this garment, but the bride has all white, right? And this yellow suit, impurity. It had three gold buttons. The fitted slim skirt was mid-calf in length. And let me just say that those on the left are not dressed in white, for they are not pure, but have already defiled themselves by receiving the seed of the beast and its god Satan. Right? She said the outfit was completed by a shade darker yellow pillbox hat with a short veil. I don't think the short veil sounds very good. You know, it's a covering, it's a symbol of submission and so on and so forth, right? And especially the dark yellow hat. It sounds like thoughts that are unclean, right? The purse was white and being shown over the bent arm of the mannequin, also showing the white wrist length gloves. to complete the picture was white 3-inch heeled shoes. Well, notice the accessories don't fit the mannequin. It says a mannequin doesn't have a heart or a life or a soul in them to do good. And they only mimic those who do. Did you notice? Mannequins only mimic true people who are alive in Christ, who have a good soul and a righteous walk, righteous works, so on and so forth. The left window also had a soft swirl design in all four corners that were painted with metallic gold. So, the left will be left, for they have been deceived by Satan's very thin coat of painted on gold, right? We got to have gold all the way through, saints. Amen. Praise be to God. The right window had a large sign in the center of it that was done in lettering of red and shadow metallic gold. The sign read, "Best Deal," quote unquote. Best deal. So that previous thing on the left over there was not a good deal. Right? The best deal was not to be dressed up like a dead mannequin, for there were no mannequins in this display window. And also, the church is not offering the righteous acts of Jesus Christ to their people. Most of the church does not believe it's possible for you to walk in the steps of Jesus. But everyone who abides in Him does this. So they can't even teach you and put faith in your heart to walk and do the righteous works of Jesus Christ. How can you put on Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ? Because He created us to walk in His steps. And in His image, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. In other words, what are we looking in the mirror for? We're looking to see what is in us. We accept the sacrifice, the ministry, the holiness of Jesus, the power of Jesus. We accept that it's ours. We're saying that it's ours. We're confessing the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. The church is dead. And that's why the Lord is coming to do something about it. Like that dead mannequin dressed up, it's all paper thin. You know, there's nothing really there. Nothing to their Christianity. Christianity has to be Christ-likeness. Wouldn't you agree? It also had the soft swirl design in the corners. Looking upward, I saw a sun, faded hunter green fabric awning. It had scallops all around the bottom edge. The front door did not match the building. In other words, this is for the whole building now, not just talking about the right or the left, right? This is the whole building. But the front door did not match the building. It was a glass door with a metal frame. Over the door was a bracket that held two small cowbells, which jingled when you came in or out. We all walked into the store, and we weren't even there a minute when we heard this boom. The sales clerk yelled, "Everybody get into the back office." So employees and four or five customers ran to the center of the back wall and opened the door, and in fear scurried to the left corner, huddled together. Well, that's kind of like the church. You know, when a threat comes, well, run and hide, you know. But as we saw in the previous dream, that wasn't what the Lord wanted. They wanted them to stand and fight, right? The church is in fear of the beast. That is, the ones that have sense enough to know that they're not going to fly away. They're in fear of the beast, and they're trying to put any kind of safety around them that they can, but it's all physical and foolish, you know. And they're seeking a place to hide, but they do not hide in Jesus Christ by abiding in His Word. They do not know their authority. You have to know your authority. But we take on the name of Christ, which is what? His nature, His character, and His authority. We have to take it on. And that is the secret place of the Most High. Sandy said, Marlene and Judy and I walked to the office. Everybody else ran, but they were walking. They weren't fearful. She said that we were not fearful. The door was made of metal. There was no lock in the knob. I believe this is probably saying that the church's place of safety is not safe from the beast. We walked through the door, and I closed the door behind me. And that's when we three felt a movement under our feet. Marlene said, ladies, what do you think that was? Or is, you know. I said, I don't know, but we will face it together. And Judy said, yes, that's right, we will. They will face it together, you know. We need to do that. Get together, put our faith together. It's the best way to conquer the enemy. On the other side of the door, we started hearing growling and hissing, and also heard claws on the door. It kicked the door and it bent it on the bottom. I started speaking in Spanish. I'm going to give you a kick and kick you out. Well, that would be nice because they would be kicked out of the church, right? For in this house, God rules, she said. So, saints, we've got to train our minds, you know, cast down vain imaginations. We are the ones in authority over the devil and his people. If we run, he will chase. If we chase, he will run. James 4 and 7. Be subject therefore unto God. That's the first thing. You got to repent. You got to change your mind and submit to the word, because that's God, right? What did Jesus have on the horse? The word of God was written. Be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's because he's terrified of anybody that submits to God and resist him. People are trying it, testing it out, and they're finding, hey, it works. Just like it wasn't there all along, you know. Matthew 18 and 18, remember. You know, they said, well, we're going to go through this together, right? Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Remember that. You bind it. You cast it down. All the plots and schemes of the enemy, cast it down. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing, because a lot of people loose the devil on themselves. They curse themselves. That's why I exhort you to go and read the book on our site. You can read it on our site, or you can get it from, what's the name of the people? I forget now. You can get it from them. And it's the tongue conquers the curse. So what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. You just put your faith together with someone else. This is the most powerful prayer. Your faith, and make sure it's a committing of faith. Make sure you're acting in faith. You are speaking faith. When you pray for something, you can agree for that. You can speak that that is yours from that time on, because Jesus said, when you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have it. Now, what would you do if you have received it? Well, you'd say, it's mine. It's mine. I'm delivered from this enemy. He has no authority. He has no power. On and on. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, what are they going to do with Jesus? Not much. In my right hand, I had the the water Bible. Now, some of y'all may not remember that, but she had a dream about the Word with water flowing all around it, like it was in an encased glass, you know. Water rushing all around the Word, you know, because the water is the Word, right? It's the living waters. Living waters means moving waters, active waters, right? You can have dead waters, you know that, don't you? There's a lot of preachers that preach dead water. It's a dead word. It's not powerful. It doesn't do anything. You know, if you don't put the Word of God into use, and it's not doing anything, it's dead waters. It's not living waters. I opened the door all the way and struck the creature with the water Bible with all my might. And poof, it was gone. Yeah, they're not really much. They look bad. And they're trying to scare you. But they're really not much. You know, God's people are going to see that the Word is alive and active and will destroy the beast who is raised against them, right? She said, now we knew that the vibration under our feet was the beast walking. The beast was much bigger than the doorway. I turned around, still holding on to the Word, and to my astonishment, the three of us were all drenched with water. It was so refreshing. Yeah, the anointing breaks the yoke. Take the Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the shield of faith, right? Tell the devil what he can't do. The beast was huge and had a very large head. Of course, he's conquered now, but she's describing him, right? And he had a nose and a mouth of a wolf. Ah, now we know who the head of this beast is, right? This is the false prophet head of the beast body of people, right? And many of these people call themselves Christians, but it don't make any difference. And of course, the leadership does too. It doesn't make any difference. They're working for the devil, they're working for the devil. And the Bible tells us the difference. And we just received this, as a matter of fact, in our morning meeting, Acts 20 and 28. Take heed unto yourselves, to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, which means overseers, right? To feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. You know what? There are people into these movements, they don't feed the people of God. They run around warring with other people. They don't feed the people of God. They don't do any of that. They don't heal them. They don't deliver them. They don't feed them. They think it's their job to make war against God's people. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you. Not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. What do they do that for? To draw away the disciples after them. They have a greedy, selfish ambition. That's what they're trying to do. Wherefore watch ye, remembering that by the space of 3 years I cease not to admonish every one night and day with tears. I know the feeling. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And Sandy said, at this point, I need to say, he didn't have a covering of fur or scales or skin. All I could see was muscle. Well, his only strength is in his flesh, which has no power against the righteous. Nakedness speaks of their sinful behavior against the people of God. Sandy said, now, where his eyes would have been were just black, empty sockets. Yeah, because they have no eyes to see in the Spirit. They have no eyes for the Word of God. This is like Zedekiah, the apostate leadership. His eyes were put out as he went into captivity to Babylon. And this is, I declare, happening again. We've received this many times in different books of the Bible. Saul died at the hands of the Philistines, representing the old man, right? The old man conquered him. He was a new man, and he was supposed to conquer the old man, but instead he gave him authority over him, and he conquered him. And of course, that was just before he was conquered, and everybody could look at him and tell he was conquered, and that he was dead. And that was what? Just before David came to power. Which, by the way, is the next dream. The other strange thing Sandy said is that he didn't have a neck, and his chest was all very muscular. Well, the neck is what holds the head high, right? If you got a neck, if you don't have a neck, your head sits on your shoulders. It's not very high. You can't see very far. Holding the head high is a saying that suggests righteousness, which this body of people, that is, this beast body of people that comes against the saints, don't have. They don't have that. The people that come against the saints are not usually the lost people. The lost people are forced into things by the harlot. The harlot is this beast, you see. There are people among the people of God who claim to be Christians and are not, but they're Edomites. You know, Edom is Esau's seed, who sold their birthright through bitterness and hatred for their brother Israel. And we just received this text, Psalms 37 and 14. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy. They slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Just remember, what comes out of their mouth curls around and goes right back on their head. Better is a little that the righteous hath than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Yep, we've been talking about a once brother who has been caught recently twice in grand theft. Caught twice, clear and simple. Grand theft, not just total greed, robbing the brethren, what belonged to the brethren. This man had more money than any of the brethren around him, and yet he plundered them, claiming to be their friends. He plundered them. He stole from them money that was sent to be given to them. He pocketed it and got caught. And then he pocketed a bunch of sound equipment that was given to us by another brother. The other brother insisted on going and getting it back, and he did. It was theft. Grand theft. See, there's no conscience in these people. No conscience whatsoever. Anyway, this last dream, Sandy called David Said. She said, I'm standing in a medium-sized room which was white and void of anything. It was just a white room. And David is standing in front of me. He said, very happy and excited. Sandra, did you hear? God blocked it. His latter anointing is and is now going to fall on us. Oh, yes, it is. And this anointing fell when the northern army was defeated by God in Joel chapter 2. Right? We just received Job 29 and 23. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. Yep, Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up.
It's coming, saints.
I'm telling you, it's coming. And this morning we received Ezekiel 38, which is the northern army that was defeated as they came against God's people. And they were defeated by a great shaking and earthquakes, it says. Yesterday I received this text twice from the Lord in just a few minutes. Once it was sent by text from someone, and a few minutes later it came by phone from two different people who knew not that the other had received this. These were from two different people. What do you think? A sign from God or what? Isaiah 66 and 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hate you, that cast you out for My name's sake, have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But it is they that shall be put to shame. There you go, saints. A voice of tumult from the city. Now, I believe the city must be Zion because it says a voice from the temple. A voice that's coming out of the bride. A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to His enemies. Saints, the bride has authority. The bride is the one who needs to pray now because these prayers are heard. The bride needs to speak because these words are obeyed. You have to have a holy life. You have to be wearing white garments to have boldness towards God to speak these things. Come against the enemy, saints. Speak against the enemy. Tear down these evil movements. A voice of the Lord that came out of what? Out of the temple, out of the city, out of the bride, you see. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. There's that latter rain anointing, leadership that's coming. Just like Joseph ruled over the harlot that lied about him, so will the anointed man-child. And we just received this, too, Zechariah 9 and 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Praise God. You know, we just keep getting this stuff over and over. You know, what's the chances, you know? He is just, having salvation. Yes, he's coming with power to judge those who have persecuted the bride. The dragon who is seeking to devour the woman. He's going to judge that. Lowly, riding upon an ass, even upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Just humble brothers in whom Jesus lives. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim. Yeah, because these apostates with their golden calf were making war against the bride. And he judged them. And the horse from Jerusalem. In other words, he's going to deliver God's people from trusting in the strength of the flesh of the beast, right? And the battle bow shall be cut off. Amen. End of the wicked warfare coming against the bride, right? And he shall speak peace unto the nations. And his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Well, Jesus' physical ministry didn't reach that far, but his ministry in the man-child will. Now, it did reach that far after his original ministry. It's been all over the earth. But in these days, the gospel is truly going to be preached to the whole world. And then shall the end come. And as for thee also, because of the blood of thy covenant, I have set free thy prisoners from the pit, wherein is no water. He's going to set the prisoners free. Some some evil leadership have taken captive some of God's people, brought them into bondage to their evil religious ways, to their reprobation. But the Lord is just like He's done throughout the history. You know, when He's come, He has set them free from the pit, where there's no water, where there's no word. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. That's Zion, right? The bride. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Well, He's just asking for repentance, saints. He's asking you to turn to the bride. And praise be to God. Well, Father, thank You so much for our study today, Lord. Open our understanding, Lord. Give us more and more truth. And help us to stand and fight this battle that needs to be fought with the principalities and the powers and the rulers of this darkness and against their vessels of dishonor, which are many. God's people are obviously going to be delivered from a lot of this, and we just praise Him for it. Thank You, Father, for setting our brethren who are captives to these reprobates free. Setting them free in the name of Jesus. We trust You to do it, Lord. And we praise You for it. For mighty, mighty miracles. Deliverance. For our brethren, Lord. Lord, protect Your elect who are in various places around the world of danger, which are more than people realize. More places like that than people realize. Protect them, Lord, and warn them, Lord. We ask that the warning go out supernaturally to all of Your elect, Father, that they be spared. And, Lord, we would love to see the people that would be wiped out in this to receive revival. And we want to see, Lord, and we will see, as You have promised, Lord, the captives to the harlot being freed to follow the man-child ministry and to rejoice in walking in the steps of Jesus and hearing a voice from the temple which renders recompense to the Lord's enemies. Lord, I thank You for that. It reminds us so much of Esther, who sent forth the dictate to deliver the people of God and to give them authority to come against the beast of their day. And we thank You for that, Lord. We know You've raised up the bride for this reason and this purpose. And that number is almost full. And Lord, we thank You for doing that. We know You raised up a mighty warrior in this bride, Lord, and in the man-child, a mighty warrior against the evil and the wicked that are taking advantage and plundering Your people, Lord, and we praise You for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Well, thank you, saints, for joining us today, and thank you for your prayers, and we pray for you all the time. We have a morning prayer meeting. It's almost every day, all but one day. And we pray for you all the time. We just thank You, Father, for blessing our brethren out there who are scattered throughout the world. And we thank You for pouring out Your Spirit upon them and blessing them and drawing them unto You, Lord, and giving them strength. And some of them don't have a lot of strong Christians around them, Lord. We just ask You to do that for them, Lord, in Jesus' name, so they can come together in agreement, in prayers of agreement. Thank You, Father. Amen.